You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, today would be Monday all day long. And Boomer's on the board. Hey, Bo.
It's Monday.
How's your Monday going so far?
It's Monday. Monday.
All the equipment's working. Everything's fine. So
we are up and running today.
I probably shouldn't have said that.
I know. Cool. Way to go.
Yeah, thanks. Did y'all have a good Mother's Day weekend?
We did. How about y'all?
Yeah, we did. We just, you know, it was kind of like Saturday was Mother's Day for us. Mm-hmm. It was whatever Charlene wanted to do.
Ooh.
Yes, honey, that was my day. Yes, honey. I'm proud to do it. Yes, honey.
Yes, and you're proud to do it.
And I was proud to do it.
And to all the mothers out there, thank you so much for all you do.
Oh, see, that's just good.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, and we got a great show laid on for you, by the way. You're going to want to stay tuned for every bit of it. So at 3:30 p.m. today, U.S. Senator Katie Britt calling into the show. Going to talk about her experiences on the southern border most recently, and then also perhaps touch base on a question of ESG getting more and more prolific in banking. So we'll talk about that. U.S. Senator Katie Britt calling in at 3:30, 4 o'clock. A longtime friend, Twinkle Kavanaugh, she's the president of the Alabama Public Service Commission. She's got a long history in state politics. She's been at the PSC now for a number of years. I found an article and I sent it to her and said, were you aware of this? Oh, she doesn't like it. She's going to talk about it with me, about whether or not ESG is getting into utilities so they can help raise our rates. 3:30 p.m., U.S. Senator Katie Britt, 4 p.m., Twinkle Kavanaugh, president of the Alabama Public Service Commission. And then there's still a triple dipper, so hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know as we run today's show. Number one, out the gate, social upheaval. It's going to kind of tie into my monologue here in a minute, but isn't it amazing how there's a constant push, more of a push, to try and change the way our culture, our society perceives things? I mean, like, it's unbelievable. I told Charlene, it's kind of almost like it's rabid right now. We're going to talk about it. Cultural issues here. Social upheaval. That's number one on the triple dipper. Number two, border madness. So I love the fact that the Biden administration appears to be taking credit for the things that the Texas state government is doing. We'll talk about that in great detail. Also have a call with U.S. Senator Katie Britt. Border madness. What's the update since last week's revocation or withdrawal of Title 42? Yep, we'll talk about it. Number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, ESG in the power bill. So, you know, environmental, social, governance factors, that's that whole liberal push to make sure your corporations and everybody else in the world is really not just trying to make a profit. They're just doing all they can to make sure they're woke enough. And that's why you see Woca-Cola, and that's why you see, you know, the massive push for EVs and all of it. Climate change is the existential threat. Well, what I discovered most recently is there's been a push among some of the biggest stakeholders in the ESG push, not the least of which is BlackRock, to try and get hold of shares in utility companies. Why would they do that? Then they could drive their energy portfolio into alternative energy sources, which in turn is going to drive up our rates. So we'll talk about it. ESG in the power bill. That's number three on the triple dipper. Well, let me jump over here to my comments now. And I got to say, it's when you think about it, it can be funny how things change over time, right? I mean, funny, haha, sometimes funny, weird. I'm in my late 50s, so I've seen a few things morph, especially when it comes to high school. All right, so I can distinctly recall there being a smoking pit at my high school for students who smoked. Horrors. Can you imagine that now? No. I can remember when a guy wearing an earring would draw the ire of any adult in the room. In fact, I once had a football coach who realized that a guy that I knew had the telltale indentation of an ear piercing, called him up in front of the class. The coach took out his pocket knife in class and offered to remove the guy's earlobes to assist him in getting right. But can you imagine? I mean, today, if that were to happen, we find ourselves at a place in a society where 15 cell phones would have come out, recorded the event, the student's parents would have sued the school system, the kid would have claimed emotional distress and mental anguish, and the coach would have been terminated for threatening a child with a deadly weapon. That same football coach, by the way, he once had the entire team come in on a Saturday morning because, you know, coming back from the game on a Friday night, someone had cut some of the seats on the bus. I don't know how he got in touch with all of us in the days before cell phones and text messages, but we were all there early on Saturday morning running what the coach called safaris until we puked, and nobody that I can recall had a parent that called to complain. I can also distinctly remember guys coming to school straight from duck hunting early in the morning, putting their shotgun in the racks in the back window of their truck in the school parking lot. Nobody thought a thing of it. I had a history teacher that was a Civil War reenactor, probably reenacting on the southern side, if you know what I mean, who would bring his black powder rifle to school and he would fire a powder charge in the classroom for a demonstration. And listen, most of what I just described to you would likely not even be allowed in any school today. Smoking pits, shotguns, pocket knives, corporal punishment. Those things are mostly bygones, and yet we all grew up in them, and I'd like to say that we're largely okay. But there were also things that were not tolerated back then, not the least of which was any teacher ever allowing their personal life to become part of the classroom, especially if that involved any discussion about their relationships or, for that matter, their sex lives. I never once had a teacher. In all my 12 years of K through 12, I never once had a teacher that instructed me on anything to do with sexuality, much less to encourage any of us students to go find our true selves. I mean, that would have been grounds for dismissal, tenure or no tenure. And there was always that one teacher who seemed different or odd or somehow from a different life track than the bulk of the people that we knew in life. But back then, adults had a bright line between their personal and professional lives. Well, somewhere along the line, that bright line became less bright. The lines actually became blurred, and in far too many cases, the line has been completely erased. Erased to the point that too many adults feel that it is now their role in life to make sure that kids know every prurient aspect of their lifestyles. There have always been those who were untrustworthy. There have always been subcultures and private lifestyles that remain private. But in recent years, the movement has become almost rabid in an effort to ensure that no one can be required to keep any barriers, that no one is required to maintain any decorum, that every aspect of someone's lifestyle choices must be made known, must be accepted as their truth, and that children, must be subjected to it in order to ensure that they have some kind of early age acceptance. So when did this become okay? Well, the short answer, never. It is not okay to subject a child to some belief systems. It is not okay to subject a child to certain lifestyles. It is not okay to tell a child, in the absence of any legal authority otherwise, that their parents are wrong and they shouldn't be told anything that a non-parent does or says in the presence of the child. Meaning, hey, I'm your teacher and we keep secrets together from your parents. That's not okay. But here's the deal, though. It has become somewhat of an accepted norm in some places. And maybe accepted is too strong of a word, since we are seeing parents pushing back all over the nation. But how then, though, did this become something that we see happening far too often? In my opinion, it happened because we parents lacked situational awareness. Now, situational awareness is that sense of keeping your head on a swivel. It's being aware of your surroundings. It's being aware of what others around you are doing. At its lowest level, situational awareness is like having your eyes up and looking around as you walk through the Walmart parking lot at night, right? As opposed to having your head down, surfing your social media on your phone while you walk to your car. Criminals look for easy prey, and the potential victim who eyeballs them from 50 yards away is not near as attractive to a bad actor as the potential victim who has no clue what's going on. But the term situational awareness, generally speaking, it has its roots in the military vernacular. It's discussed in Sun Tzu's classic, The Art of War. It's also taught as a deliberate matter in law enforcement training, aviation, ship navigation, medical care, and more. It's the effort to understand your environment, how it changes, what factors are dangerous or not dangerous, and what those factors even mean, all so you can make critical decisions. I mean, get into the weeds, and situational awareness can come in levels like perception, comprehension, projection of solutions. But here's the deal. It's also scriptural. If you get down to it, it's scriptural. 1 Corinthians 16:13 admonishes men to be on the alert. There's your situational awareness. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. But as surely as the enemy on a military battlefield wants to catch us unaware, or as surely as the perpetrator hiding in the shadows in a dark parking lot wants to catch us with our eyes down, the progressive left wants us to pay no attention to their efforts to groom our children. And the only way that they can achieve that goal of co-opting our kids is if we as parents, grandparents, guardians, neighbors, or just plain citizens take our eyes off the prize. You see, a weak presence on the part of a potential victim can invite disaster. A weak defense on the battlefield invites attack. A weak level of situational awareness regarding our kids allows the opportunity to invite them into behaviors and mindsets and lifestyles and emotional states that the vast majority of parents would never want nor expect. So again, will there always be bad actors out there? Yes. And will there always be things that happen in the dark? Yes. But never let it be said that our children were subjected to that which we would never want for them simply because we were caught unawares, simply because we lacked situational awareness. So my friends, keep your heads on a swivel and your eyes on the prize. Act like men. Be strong. This is our children we're talking about. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. Well, I think if there's any one good thing that came out of COVID, it's that parents can say they finally caught hold of what's going on. Parents began to see things they weren't able to see before. But yeah, I'm telling you, we got to stay situationally aware. We can't let ourselves step back and assume things are just fine because back in our day, it was okay. It's not our day anymore. And these are our kids. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. All right, so we got a ton of stuff laid on for you today, but just so you know, the text lines are indeed open. If you want to text on in or call on in for that matter, 833-687-4448 is the number. That's 833-68-RIGHT. And if you text in for the very first time, you can just text the word right side to that number, and then it'll give you an automated message back, something like, you know, hey, you right side ruffian, welcome to the show, or something like that. And it'll ask you, tell us your first name, where you're from. And that's why we've got so many folks out there. I mean, I can see right now text messages from Rayson from Hawaii, John from Huntsville, John from Brownsboro, Tony from Piedmont, Robin from Tupelo, Brian from Huntsville. Goes on down the line, man. Anyway, just jump on in where you can. Hang on. Quick, what show is that from? Do you know? You don't?
No, I do not know. I was playing it back through in my head right after you said that because I wasn't really paying attention.
That was Andy Griffith.
I was going to say Judd, but like I couldn't think of the Andy Griffith show.
Paul Darlin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say Beverly Hill.
Close.
That's what I was going
to say. Had the same
say.
Genre, yeah. But it was, yeah. Just jump on in where you can, Sheriff, and hang on. I don't know why I just went there. It just happened in my head. Sometimes things in my head come out of the microphone. All right, hey, listen, we got all kinds of stuff, though, too. One of the topics we're going to cover today is border madness. And you know what's interesting is I'm watching up on the screen, and I'm seeing that the discussion in the discussion in CNN right now is, oh, my goodness. Florida passed its own version of an immigration law. Well, that's because the federal government's doing squat right now. That's why. And then on top of that, there was discussion earlier that appeared to be taking credit for what the Texas state authorities are doing. Because, you know, the Texas National Guard and the Texas Department of Public Safety are all acting right now to the tune of almost 10,000 personnel, if I'm not mistaken, under orders from Texas Governor Greg Abbott, called it Operation Lone Star. They're protecting their border, and they are literally setting up concertina wire and barriers and standing there in riot gear, refusing to allow people to cross the river and come ashore on Texas soil. Well, it's ruffled some feathers. But you know what it's also done? It's lowered the number of people coming across the border. Go figure. What happens when you actually take an active stance to, I don't know, protect sovereign U.S. soil? And so right now what we're looking at is that Texas was expecting somewhere in the neighborhood of, you know, oh gosh, they had an overall expectation of like 10,000 or more, and it dropped to 6,200. The Biden administration had the gall, or maybe it was a CNN on their behalf, which is almost the same thing, to say that it appears that migrants are beginning to learn that they can't just come across when they want to because of the app that the Biden administration put together. Let me ask you a question, Boomer. I'm just coming at you with this. I mean,
come on.
You're tech savvy. You understand these things.
Yeah.
You know how to use apps and stuff. Is there a new app out there that's changing the way that immigration is happening?
Oh,
come on.
Boy.
You know.
Well, I didn't hear about it till this morning.
I just look at this and think.
I'm like, really? The app, you think they're really going to use this?
Are we sure that's what's slowing things down at the very least?
Exactly.
So, I mean, if that's the case, then we could have just designed a new app like 2 years ago, right?
Slow it down then.
Wow. Everybody get your smartphone out.
There's an app for that.
That's right. Here's the best border crossing for you. That's like, what is it, Waze?
Yeah. They're Waze. Probably like, hey, just tell us where you're coming over. Just pin it on your app and then we'll know.
Hit the pin. Awesome.
And then I'm crossing here.
We'll be there with donuts and, you know, free lodging. Although we're seeing so many maddening things, and I'm getting way ahead of myself in the show, but so many maddening things, like right now, story out of New York City is that there's a hotel that had disabled veterans living in it, and the disabled veterans are being required to leave so that illegal aliens could come in and have lodging. So let me get this straight. Disabled / veteran / U.S. citizen somehow ranks higher for safe and secure lodging or does not rank higher than illegal immigration. That's where we are right now. U.S. Senator Katie Britt will be on here early. You may recall I played a clip from a press conference she did last Thursday, and I played the clip on Friday, and it was fire, man. I mean, she was spot on, so I expect her to pretty much have the same attitude when she comes on today at 3:30 to tell us, you know, her thoughts from the D.C. perspective. Our U.S. delegation, with the exception of Democrat Terry Sewell, has been pretty spot on. So we'll see where it goes. But in the meantime, I do know this. The southern border, it is not where it needs to be, even to the point that we may just be going ahead and officially saying we've lost control. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.